Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry here in Boston. Good morning, Celeste,
good
up there
morning.
In New York.
Good morning.
So is it as rainy down there as it is up here?
It is very rainy, and it's not expected to clear up until Sunday, I think.
We could call this nor'easter the Wither Obama storm, don't you think?
Why would we do that?
It's kind of a Wither Obama moment as we head into the midterms. I mean, the conservative talk shows, of course, started asking the question, Wither Obama, on Inauguration Day.
Yeah. They waited that long? I don't think so.
Perhaps not. But as the elections approach, polls show that many Americans are asking the same questions, many who even voted or are believed to have voted for the president. And the president himself may be wondering the same things. If we're to believe an article in this weekend's New York Times magazine, it's actually linked on our site. It's a Peter Baker piece. Did you take a look at that yesterday?
I read the whole thing. And in fact, you know, people have asked where we came up with the idea of Obama 2.0. That came directly from the president's office.
The president's senior advisors seem to be wondering if there is a need for a reset at this point, or if the election itself will enforce a kind of reset. Joining us to talk about this is Michael Tomasky. Michael is the American editor-at-large for the UK's Guardian newspaper and the editor of the quarterly journal Democracy. Good morning, Michael.
Hi, John.
So, Michael, it seems to me that though Obama may say we need an Obama 2.0, some people, and I suspect you included, may feel that we got Obama 2.0 after Inauguration Day when the campaigning Obama went away and the sort of policy wonk Obama emerged, and that that's part of the problem he's having in these midterms. What's your analysis?
In the sense that he and his campaign people seemed to do politics really well during the campaign, for the most part. Some slip-ups, but for the most part, really well. And since he's been president, they seem not to have done politics very well at all. Yes, I do agree that there's already been an Obama 2.0, quite as compelling as 1.0.
Well, maybe we need a 3.0 at this point. Let's play some moments from the Obama presidency and those very early days and contrast the mood then with what seems to be the mood now. Here he is on June 3rd, 2008, accepting the Democratic nomination for president of the United States.
Then I am absolutely certain that generations from now, we will be able to look back and tell our children that this was the moment when we began to provide care for the sick and good jobs to the jobless. This was the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet began to heal. This was the moment when we ended a war and secured our nation and restored our image as the last best hope on earth. This was the moment, this was the time when we came together to remake this great nation so that it may always reflect our very best selves.
Well, it's certainly easy to be your best when there are 2 million people on the mall cheering you on. But listen to this in January of 2010, when it was more like a skeptical Congress, at least on the Republican side, listening to the State of the Union address.
For these Americans and so many others, change has not come fast enough. Some are frustrated. Some are angry. They don't understand why it seems like bad behavior on Wall Street is rewarded, but hard work on Main Street isn't, or why Washington has been unable or unwilling to solve any of our problems. They're tired of the partisanship and the shouting and the pettiness.
Michael Tomasky, why do you think the president shifted to this tone of, hey, folks, let's grow up and get to the business of America? And why has that message not really penetrated, particularly in the face of a spirited attack from the Republicans?
I think he shifted for a couple of reasons. I think they really did not anticipate how strong and wall-to-wall the Republican opposition was going to be. And a lot of people didn't anticipate that. It just didn't seem at the time that they were going to throw that many roadblocks up. I also think they shifted because events dictated that they needed to shift. When unemployment is soaring and the jobless claims are coming in like they have been over the past 2 years, it's pretty hard to keep that soaring rhetoric up. So I think think events dictated. You know, one of the paragraphs in that article that you mentioned by Peter Baker that was interesting was that David Plouffe, who had been such a key figure in his campaign, said to him, "You could well be in the mid to low 30s by the end of 2 years, given the unemployment picture." And that's a pretty sobering thing for a White House to deal with.
Well, you know, one of the things that people out of the White House have said is that they're hoping that after the midterm elections, it will be less partisan. What is the chances that that would actually occur? I mean, I'm assuming that some of the effort has to come from the White House to become better players in politics. But what are the chances that the midterm elections will be a reset for Congress, too?
I think that's just the kind of thing you say to the New York Times in advance of an election. I don't think they actually believe that. I don't see how it could be less partisan. Sure, there are ways. If the Republicans capture the House, there are ways in which, obviously, Obama is going to have to move to the center and not do big legislation and do legislation that Republicans might sign on to. That, by the way, might be good for him heading into 2012. So that whole counterintuitive argument about how a Republican House could help him does make a certain amount of sense. So it could happen to that degree. But mostly the Republicans, if they gain one or both houses of Congress, are going to be hounding him and his administration weekly, daily, hourly. Subpoenas, investigations, congressional hearings on all manner of things, just like they did with Clinton, but probably, you know, times five.
And you wrote about that in the New York Review of Books in a pretty telling piece there. Listen to this comment from one of our listeners here, Michael Tomasky.
This is Ryan from Cambridge, Massachusetts. I actually think that the question of whether or not the president needs to course correct is somewhat ridiculous when you consider the fact that he's done a lot to stem the tide of damage that was inflicted on the nation over the last 8 years. It's been less than 2 years that he's been in office, and he's made enormous contributions, and we still have a long, long way to go.
So, Michael, he has not defended himself against Republican attacks, even though there's a message that's positive here. Why? Before we go quickly.
I don't know why. It's kind of a mystery to me. I think he's long believed that he really can bring them to the table, but that belief is going to be dropped pretty quickly.
Indeed. Michael Tomasky, the mystery of the Wither Obama question, American editor-at-large for the UK's Guardian newspaper, Obama 2.0, or maybe 3.0. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. John Huckenberry broadcasting from our partner station WGBH in Boston, where luminaries in science and technology are descending on MIT later today to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the MIT Media Lab, which is why I'm up here. We're compiling a list from you of what you think the most revolutionary development over the last 25 years in media has been. And we've already compiled quite a conversation on what we were just discussing with Michael Tomasky about the Obama administration. Where does it need to go? We've had Obama 1.0. The administration may be considering Obama 2.0. Tomasky was suggesting maybe what we really need is Obama 3.0 to get back to what he was doing in the beginning in the campaign. What are you saying? Well, a listener in Bayside, New York tells us, "I think the president is doing a good job. Do I wish he would have been more explicit with the banks on how to help homeowners? Yes. But people seem to think he's some kind of miracle worker." Seems like Obama has that listener on his side. And again, your comments aren't a scientific poll, but certainly an indication of the passions out there. Here's a Michigan listener who sends a list of what he needs to hear from the Obama administration. End wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, reform education, reduce national debt, create a public option in health care. This text from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, don't think there is much he can do. We were already in a hole, and it's harder to dig out than to get in. We know you have plenty to add. Everyone can be a pundit on The Takeaway. Got something to add? Keep the conversation going. You can reach us by texting 69866. Start your message with the word take, followed by what you think Obama 2.0, 3.0, 1.0 should look like. That's 69866. Normal messaging rates apply.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.